So, planting the seeds of reading. Come on in, come on in. Oh, that's fine. So, teaching little ones to read is a rewarding experience that lays the foundation for a lifetime love of learning. Can all of y'all read? How did y'all learn how to read? If you can read, thank a teacher, right? Yes. So in this workshop, we want to look at some foundational seeds we can plant that will help a child flourish, hopefully his entire lifetime. So, did you know that the Bible even talks about reading? Can you think of a verse? Give attendance to reading. It's actually just part of a verse. Anybody know what that means? I think Paul was talking to Timothy. I think even way back then he was saying it is important to read. How would you get anywhere in this life if you couldn't read? I actually know of at least one person, maybe even more if I think about it, of someone who can't read. So if you can't read, you probably can't write, right? So reading is very, very important, and I'm going to be basically talking about, well, my experience, most of my first graders are good readers. Dolores here is going to tackle the class of students who struggle with reading, and if you are here for that, I don't think I have many tips, but when is your class? Tomorrow? Yeah. She'll have some tips for the student who has a hard time reading. So why do we read? Why do you read? Why do you want your students to read? Yes, thank you. Anything else?
I read to expand my vocabulary.
Very good.
Give insights to people.
Good. Don't you read to communicate with others? You know, for years already, people wrote letters or got letters in the mail, or you read the newspaper, the budget, I don't even know. There's so many things to read, right? So just communicating with your friends and family, you have to read. And then also you can learn from the past, which that's what we learn a lot at school from our history books and whatever. Most importantly, we want to understand God and his ways. We want to read the Bible and see what he has for us. So reading helps us grow. Now, why don't some people like to read? You have those students. Why don't they like to read? It's so hard. Oh, your students all love it. They can't wait to go to the reading class. It's very difficult for some people. Also, I think for some students, letters and words are actually very confusing to some children in their mind, maybe even to some adults. Screen time has replaced a lot of reading. I sometimes even think the art of reading has almost been lost. Maybe not so much in our setting, but you don't have to look very far. And you go to town, little people are on the phone. So sad. So with practice and support, I think everyone can become a good reader. And so we're going to talk about some of those things. First of all, I'm going to give a little pep talk to teachers. Also, I will apologize. I have no handouts to give you. I'm sorry. If you want to jot stuff down, write it down. I barely knew how to get my own notes together. I didn't know where I would start with one for y'all. So all of you have committed to teaching this next year, right? That's awesome. And like I said, it is a rewarding experience to just step into the classroom. How is teaching rewarding? So many of you have taught multiple years. How has it rewarded you?
Watching the students' minds open up.
Yes, light bulb. I don't want to put anyone on the spot. I'm sure once, if we really stop and think, we could write down a whole bunch of things. But in particularly thinking about reading, something about this makes my teacher heart so proud. When your students learn to read, then they start writing you notes. And it is the funnest thing. And one thing I just thought about since I was sitting here this morning was, so in language, you know, they have all kinds of sentences every day. And this spring, there was a sentence in first grade that said, God is so good to us. And my little six-year-old wrote, yes, he is. And I was like, oh, I felt like I could have died that day. Like, my child can not only read, but he can understand. And it just makes it so worthwhile. Like, yes. And I'm sure all of you have had those moments. Like, it just makes you so happy when your child can not only read, but can understand what he is reading. So you as a teacher, us, we have to be creative, patient, and use a lot of encouragement. And those are, I think, some key points to help your child learn. Because everyone learns in different ways, different paces. Some things you only have to say once. There's lots of things you have to say over and over and over. And they still don't get it. But I have learned sometimes when they sleep over it and come back the next day, it actually stuck. So every sound, every letter, syllable, word, or even a story that you share can spark a fire in their hearts that can live forever. It could almost make me emotional just thinking about the power that you have as a teacher. Your attitude is so contagious towards learning, and specifically reading. And this will inspire your students like crazy. And if you love it, they will too. If you don't love school and if you don't love to learn, you just better pack up your bags and leave right now. Honestly, do not wing it. Have you heard that saying before? Have you said it? I know I have. I'm just going to wing it. I'm going to fake it till I make it. Do not do that. Okay? I'm not saying in a pinch you never can, but as a general rule, you study your lesson hard. Read the story ahead of time so you know what's going to happen. A couple days ahead of time, or day or two, whatever. Don't read too much. I've also, especially if you're a first grade teacher, if you look at the big book ahead of time, you can almost feel overwhelmed. So don't overwhelm yourself, but know what's going to be happening. Make your reading class a good one. You can have fun. And what Aaron was saying out there about playing, I was like, yes, you can have fun. It can just be like playing. And now I want to go home and see what all I can bring into class. And surely the student who just hates school, he'll like it a little bit, don't you think? Maybe it's because of us that they don't like school. I don't know. I know sometimes you can try so hard and still not always keep everyone happy. So there's that. So be a good example in reading yourself. I suppose you read for morning devotions, you read story problems, and later at the end of this session, we want to talk a little bit about story hour. Be thinking about it, what books you can read for story hour. Use lots of expressions. I can be kind of dramatic. I've been told I'm very dramatic. You should be too, okay? Don't take yourself too seriously in the classroom. Change your voice up a bit if you have to, you know. It just makes me smile when I hear people read. They go high and they go low, and your students are just there watching, okay? They love it. Laugh at things that are funny in the story. You know, it's fine. And you can even shed some tears. I can kind of be emotional. I remember here a couple years ago, I read the book Where the Red Fern Grows. And they're like, Miss Ava, why are you crying? And it's just like, but you do that. Feel it with them. It just helps them so much. Express curiosity and use your imaginations. Imagine if this happens, or what if this happens? And the next thing you know, everybody's talking, imagine this, imagine that. And it's, you have to shut it down, which is actually super hard because the clock is your greatest enemy, is it not? Like, you just, you wish everyone could just talk all day long. So, your students have one shot at this, and they deserve your very, very best. Every day you are planting seeds, and those seeds grow slowly but surely. And soon a plant will start to grow, and then a bud. And then the bud will open into a flower. It is just the most beautiful thing. And I think this every year as I go into teaching first grade, they're just like these little plants, and soon they'll start budding. And it doesn't take long, and they start to open up a little bit at a time. And you have a front row seat to all of this. It's just incredible how their little brains work. So yeah, what an honor to teach them, but also it is a very, very big responsibility. Any comments, questions up to this point? Testimonies? Just kidding. Oh, okay. So this is the part where I'm like, which direction should I go? How many of y'all teach CLE learning to read? Okay. How many of you have a different curriculum? Okay. So when I was asked to teach this class, it was a little blurry in my mind which way I was supposed to go with it. And I do teach learning to read first grade, and I'm pretty sure all the things that I will say, you just tailor it to your curriculum. So, in thinking of teaching first grade, I feel like I am such an organic teacher. I don't have a lot of bells and whistles and a lot of philosophy. It's just, I mean, we're in the grind, right? In the daily grind, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. But I have some things written down here that will hopefully help us. And it was actually so good for me to study. Like, why do I even do the things I do? And also to remind myself to shake things up a bit and play, you know, play in the classroom. So, drill, drill, drill all the time. Blend, blend, blend. And then review, review, review. Like those three things, I just feel like in my heart, if you do those all the time, you're bound to have success. And I even, for your first year teachers, look ahead to see what's on tests and quizzes. Like, it's impossible to cover everything. We can't focus on everything all the time. But know your stuff and drill, drill that stuff. Now, hopefully your first graders have been through kindergarten and have been introduced to the alphabet. At least that's so helpful. How many of you have kindergarten before first grade? Okay, some. I know different communities do it, different culture, right? Hopefully they do some at home, though. Because it's so helpful when they come to first grade, at least know some of the basics. So anyway, so they come into school with, that first day of school, which is right around the corner for us. They come in there with all their brand new stuff, and they are so excited. And it's like, you look at them, and, you know, in a few weeks, they'll be able to read. And it's just like, they just can't believe it. And by Christmas time, you know, they'll be reading quite a bit of stories. Not everything, but it's just like, just hype it up. And you're so excited with them. And it's a big deal to a six-year-old, right? So, yeah, you just amp that up, and yes, they'll be so excited too. So I think I have about 20 seeds here that we're going to be talking about. They're not necessarily in order because I just started jotting stuff down. So the first thing I like to do when they come to school is sing the AB song a lot, the proper way. L-M-N-O-P, no thanks. I hate that version. Sing it with me, the tune of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and we're not going to sing the part L-M-N-O-P because I absolutely hate that part, and students, they think it's so funny. So we'll go through that real slow. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Now I never will forget how to say the alphabet. Let's do it again, okay? I guess it was new for, I actually just learned this not too long ago, a couple years, and I could just almost pinch myself that I didn't know it from the start. Who came up with element of P? I just have a bone to pick with that. Sing it again. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Now I never will forget how to say the alphabet. Any questions? Think it's the tune of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Sing it the right way. Write it down.
So, how did you come to hate the Hunger?
How did I what?
How did you come to hate that part? Like, what's the catch of it?
Well, it feels like for my students, they would often kind of like put it all together in one line. Like, where is this letter? The element of P. And it's like, good question. Hate that. But thanks for bringing that up. Yes. Interesting. Any other comments on that song? How do you sing? Do you have a better way of singing it? Okay. So, good. The next thing I have, and this is hilarious if you do it with your class room, and we might even do it here, do mouth drills. Have you ever seen people play games with their mouth? Like, your mouth is actually so amazing. You can do all kinds of things with your mouth. Okay, so let's do it now. Open your mouth. Just make some kind of noise. All together. Like, like, do it in your classroom, and it can get absolutely crazy. Like, all the sounds you can make with your mouth. So, now, what is reading? It's a bunch of sounds that come out of your mouth, okay? Some of them actually are very, they're not as crazy as the mouth drill game. And then, you know, reading, it's a bunch of sounds you stick together, forms a word. And that's how we learn how to read and to communicate with others. Okay, the next part I have is consonants and vowels are the name of the game. Talk about them all the time. Like, I feel like students sometimes, they get so confused, like, what's a consonant, what's a vowel? From day one, A is always a vowel, A is always a vowel. It doesn't matter what. And then B is always a consonant. Like, just from the get-go, talk about it. I feel like, okay, so for learning to read, I don't know how this is in other curriculums, we don't have language to like November. So like the first quarter, it's math and reading. So you will find out when you get to language, you'll thank yourself that you've been talking about consonants and vowels all along. Like, they know what it is. So, yes, talk about them a lot. And of course, you all know this, have your charts up on the wall so they can make reference to them. Nice charts are a bonus. I actually made myself a whole set of new charts. I think they're pretty. I was so tired of using Learning to Read that CLE has. I felt like they were so overstimulating in my classroom. So I made new ones. They work like a charm. CLE actually approved these. I can make them available to other people. Nice charts are a bonus, but if you like the ones you have, put charts on the walls so your students can see the charts. They reference them. They should be there. Your classroom is not a bedroom, so put charts up on the wall for your students to see. Now, every day, of course, you introduce a new sound. So before you get to the new sound, do all of your review and drill beforehand. Like, they're little brains, they are amazing, but try to help them out a little bit. So you come to the table. How many of you use a classroom table? Yes, I love a classroom table. Hopefully yours is by your chalkboard. Do all your review, wherever it is, go over all your sounds, rhymes, do flashcards a lot. Like, just play games with your flashcards. Shake it up, spice it up, go around the circle. We love to play the in and out game is what we call it. I actually might talk about flashcards just a little bit later. I have some more things I want to say about that. But yes, do all your review and drill before you introduce the new sound of the day, the new things of the day. Also, when you go to the table to work on your stuff, do a lot of it together, especially first grade teachers, first graders. It doesn't matter if they can see each other's work. It's not that big of a deal. Actually, it saves you time, which time is our worst enemy, right? Everyone's right here, and you can just kind of see what's happening. Do a lot of your work together. And like I said, use the chalkboard a lot. I love to see a chalkboard when I came here. A lot of schools have switched to the whiteboards. I love my chalkboard. It's old-fashioned, I guess, I don't know. But I love a chalkboard.
It is actually supposedly better for your brain. Because, you know, it's not so smooth or whatever.
The chalkboard.
That smooth is not good. Like a whiteboard is not good.
That is such a good point. I did not know that. So, yeah. And chalk is actually cheap, honestly. It is very cheap. Mine is magnetic. I suppose this one is too. Works perfect. You can hang up your stuff here before you move it to the wall, like for a permanent place. I often have a bunch of magnets, and I'm sticking up stuff all over here while I'm having class and stuff. So make up little chants or songs or whatever for your students to take in. It just helps. It just makes it stick better. Maybe some of you have some little chants you want to share. Any that pop into your mind?
I used to do songs.
Yeah, songs, little songs.
I had one. A singer nowadays only one in a plural, nowadays two or more.
That's great. That is interesting. I need to remember that. This is what I do for my singular and plural. I write. And then, I make this thing. So singular has one L for one thing, plural has two L's, two or more, but I love the song idea. Any more? For the short vowels, and you can also do this for long vowels, the vowels of the alphabet, I know them all by name, O, A, E, I, O, U, and then you can also do it, sing it all the time. They actually love it. See, what is that, the tune of B-I-N-G-O? What is that song, actually? What was it?
Old MacDonald.
So yeah, sing, make up your own, or find them on YouTube, Pinterest, wherever. Another one that I like, and this is more for, I use this for like the sound, the ear, the R, the OR, all those funny sounds. Polar bear, what do I hear? I hear in my ear. They absolutely love that one. And they usually tell me, we haven't said that one yet today. So, polar bear, what do I hear? I hear in my ear. So, yeah. Anyway, it just, even for the teacher, I think it we have so many things on our mind too, but somehow a song can just make it better. Did you think of anything you want to say? Yes. Okay, so it changes all the time. So, like, if you have, like, the R sound or
odor.
Okay, it's not the polar bear. The polar bear is just part of the whatever. I mean, but yeah, it would be polar bear even if it's ear or whatever. What do I hear?
Are you doing bear or ear or all of them?
Polar bear, what do I hear? I hear or in my ear. Like, you change the sound. Does that make sense? I hear ear in my ear, I hear or in my ear, I hear R in my ear.
Like you're trying to drill all the different ways.
Yeah, you can use it with a lot of different sounds. I mean, I suppose you could even say it with, I hear ah in my ear, but that doesn't sound as fun. But, you know, the I-R-E-R-E-A-R-A-I-R, like all those sounds you can say in that chant. Yeah. Am I clear? Kind of.
You would do that while they see the letters, like, so you would show them AR.
Yes.
On your R. That way they connect.
I have flashcards for everything. Those little recipe cards, index cards from Walmart, super cheap. I make my own flashcards all the time. And, I think I talked a little bit. Yeah, I think I can say that right now. The whole flashcards, so many different things that you can do with flashcards. Like, pass out your flashcards. Give each student like 4 or 5, and they get to, you know, stand in front and talk about the flashcard. So learning to read has, you know, these, you know what these are. They also have the ones that have the picture. Don't use these unless you need it, is my philosophy, okay? If you need it, go ahead, pull these out. But they do pretty good just with these flash. And once, we like to play the in and out game, so I guess I just grabbed the star words and not even any that they sound out, but they often come up and walk around the table, and I would maybe be standing here, flash it quick, and they cannot stop. They have to say it. And if they stop, I say out. So they have to stand here, or maybe if they make a mistake, they're out. And if they're out for a little bit, then, you know, it depends. If there's another one that's out real, there's never two people out at the same time, so they can do a switch. But if no one gets out for a bit, I'm like in. Like, all I say is out or in, and they just buzz around. And we do that with math flashcards, too. So, yes, shake it up with your flashcards. Also, these are so fun. They can make sentences with them. Sometimes I try to sing a song on the fly with this word in the song. It keeps you on your toes, and sometimes I have to make them up. Also, these are their phrases that CLE has. Teach them how to say their phrases properly. I actually wanted to read a part in here. It's so interesting when you hear little ones read. So listen to this. Mom and I went to the store yesterday. That sounds pretty good, right? Now listen to this. Mom and I went to the story yesterday. Do you see the difference? So teach your children how to read phrases properly. On the way home, we saw 3 deer jump the fence. On the way home, we saw 3 deer jump the fence. Okay, so be careful with that. Teach them how to read their phrases properly.
I have a question.
Yes.
So do you hate all the words on the sight words?
Do
you hang those on the wall?
I do not. I do not. Does anybody else hang these on the wall?
I did last year, but I don't think it will this year.
I mean, if you have a first grader that is very visual, pictures are really big to
them. Well, I mean, I will say there's exceptions to the rule, and you just have to sometimes tailor to their needs. And I would say if you have one that has an actual problem, like, you want to be very sensitive to that. I just know that when I first became aware that these were available, I used them for like a year or two. I just thought, we do. And then all of a sudden I was like, they are really depending on that picture. And so I would say average students and above do not need these. They get so used to the picture. But yeah, if you definitely tailor it to your situation, yeah. So anyway, where were we at? Drill the rhyme that goes with every letter. We talked about that a little bit. Does BSR have rhymes that go with their letters? Some of you teach BSR. No rhymes. People sing the praises of BSR and they have no rhymes. Okay. Do what?
Okay,
that's interesting. It does. I learned to read without the rhymes, so it's possible. Anyway, it's so fun to do the rhymes, do the motions, you know, Debbie Duck can say quack but can't say cluck, and make all the students participate. There's always a few of those who are like, that's so dumb. No, we're all, you know, doing stuff together, and yeah. Okay. Another point I have is to blend your vowels with consonants together. Of course, if you teach someone to read, you will do this a lot. Now, I don't know how many of y'all have this slider thing, and I think this is such a handy, dandy thing to have when you're teaching sounds, consonants with your vowels. I don't even like the U. That's probably my least favorite. Let's stick with A. Another thing, while I just think about it, when you do your flashcards, it's so fun to say, A says A, 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 A says A. As you go down through all your consonants, flipping your flashcards or whatever, you can just get on a roll, you know, with all of them. So, yes. Okay. How many of y'all have this, one of these? Yeah. It's so handy, like I said. You can just go down through here and say all your consonants with your vowel on this side, and then it turns around and even comes on this side. So this, I feel like this is very, very helpful in teaching them how to blend sounds together. Another thing I like to do is, I guess in a few weeks, I always amuse myself by making a snow hill in August or September. I like to draw my hill here. And my little people who are out sledding, I'm a terrible artist, honestly. Hey, my children laugh at me all the time. But like D might be up here and pops on the sled and goes down and picks up someone who's like on the hill. Okay, don't imagine too much. That probably won't happen in actual. But it's like, it can really help the students. You know, here's D, picks up A. And sometimes down on the bottom, there's even someone else to pick up, you know? And they just can really slide their letters together. And, you know, dad is one of the first words they can spell in school. Well, if you do CLE, not sure how it is with the other curriculums or not, but do any of you have any tips you want to share as far as your blends? What do you like to do? So I actually like to give my students these little wooden tiles. They're little Scrabble things, actually. Can't hardly see them from back there. There's an H. But I usually have a set for everyone, and that's perfect too for like everyone find a D, find the A, find another D. Okay, so Hobby Lobby, I think, has these. I think I ordered off a bunch of Amazon, but you get a big, I don't know, 100 of them. You have to divide them yourself. I used to, for a long time, I would actually use these. You have these in the back of your book. I would just copy it on hardstock paper, and I would let them take those home, which I think they actually loved. And you're so proud of them and how they're doing, and they come back, and it's just like, what happened? But anyway, I would encourage you, and last year I started this to get on with a reading program. Do any of you have a reading program for your school? Good. I am working with the local bulk food store. They provided ice cream cones, and I made up my own plan. They have to read a certain amount. They shade in the circle, parent's signature, and they get a free ice cream cone. And they can get up to 3 in a summer. And so just the other day, I put on the chat, if you get all 3 of your cones, there'll be a 4th reward, because I was hearing not everyone's diligent. But I did that in hopes that they would read through the summer, but you know how it goes.
You almost have to do something like that. And you have to have a reward at the end, because everybody is too much human danger.
I know.
Or it's not going to happen.
I know.
You can't just say, I want you.
The struggle is real, and I know it's not just for the student, like the mom sometimes has to help them or remind them. And
right. That's what I mean.
But anyway, do your part and provide something, and yeah, yeah, it's just, so as I was saying, they come back to school in the fall, and I just feel like I have to spend so much time to get my second graders up and going, and then here are your first graders, have worksheets for them to do. Yeah, anyway, there's good worksheets all over the place. CLE has some, teachers pay teachers. There's lots of free worksheets on there. Another point here is structure the class so everyone can learn, okay? There's different ways, it's just a lot of different things going on, but make so everyone is learning. You be a good coach, take your turn in reading. When you have reading class, you take a turn reading too, okay? And make sure you stop at the periods, and when there's an exclamation point, do what you're supposed to do. And it's the funniest thing, so like, they, you know, in a few weeks, they'll have this book, and I think either the second or the third story, there's already an exclamation point, and it is so hilarious to tell them how they could read, and I almost lose it myself, how they are like, you know, Dad! They raise their voice so high and so shrill sometimes, but it's the hilarious thing when the cat gets into their picnic food. So anyway, keep an eye on their comprehension. I gotta start talking faster here, okay, because we didn't even get into I wanted to talk a little bit more when they're actually reading then from the reading book, and that is for first grade, but also second, third, fourth, whatever, I suppose, even you today. You know, how smooth are your students reading, and how is their speed? Some students read so terrible fast, and others are so slow. And accuracy, oh my goodness, this is one of my hobby horses. Even listening to grown people read from the Bible, like, who taught these people how to read? And so that's your job. First and second grade, first grade, I'm a little more merciful because we're learning a lot of things yet. But in second grade, if they don't read right, so you can always remind them, I ping the bell and they have to go back to the period and start reading again. Like, it's little words like a and an, or the and an. They're just constantly, it's just sloppy. No, you got to read right. Yeah. And are they using expression? So interesting how students can be so loud sometimes, and you have to calm them down, but then when they read, it's just they mumble and, I hate that. How's their posture when they read? So you want to focus on that. Have expectations and make sure your students know what you are expecting of them. One thing I will say yet for learning to read, how many of you have word lists that your students read to you? Yeah, all of you do. Okay. You can do it however it works best for you. I have learned it works best to time them from the day before, and they try to race themselves against the day before. What happens is, what does the book say? A minute? Not sure. I think so. Some students, well, they're so fast, they're well under a minute, you know, and it's not even a big deal. And other students, it actually takes them so long, and there's tears and whatever. And it's, I just say, beat yourself from the day before. And some of them have to really hustle if they're fast the way it is. But I just think it pushes them a little further. Yeah. So. Okay, just a few more things here about reading class. This is more for older first grade or second grade on. Plan ahead of time where your reading class will be. It doesn't always have to be at the table, okay? Shake it up a little bit. You can read on the floor, read on the porch, read with your shoes off, whatever. But plan ahead of time so you don't waste time figuring out where you're going to go, okay? But I am a stickler for reading it out loud both days. Like, there's usually two lessons, a story, two lessons. From third, fourth grade on, I feel like they do a lot of reading silently. I like oral reading every single day. I'm never sure if I can actually trust them. But also, I just feel like it's good for them. Now, I don't always read with them, especially like second grade, but they have to read out loud over here on the, you know, on the floor. So try to, and I think it's very important, read out loud. Before your reading class, introduce the characters in the story. Ask a lot of questions. Don't let people talk without raising their hand or whatever. What happens is your smart students will always answer first. No, go around the circle, or you figure out, keep tabs on that student who's kind of slow and, yeah, kind of zero in without them knowing, but like, I need you to pay attention to, you know. Background knowledge to your stories are so fun. Like, there's a story about Switzerland. I've been to Switzerland. I love to, sometimes I even show them a video about the cow with the bells and, like, hype it up. It's fun. There's a story about Mexicans. I brought tacos for lunch that day. Be creative and bring stuff like that. It makes reading class more fun. I know it's more work for you as a teacher, but they only come to school, you know, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever, and then they're done. Everyone needs to follow along. Make sure everyone knows where they're at when it's their turn. Okay, real quick here. First of all, does anyone have any questions about that part that we just went through? Anything you want to add?
So do you not get your second graders to do any quiet reading?
Okay, occasionally I would.
Because I wondered about that too, but with my second grade last year, I just didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is how it's supposed to be, how can we trust them?
Could you, like, you know what, there's PVC pipes, you know, that
yeah,
they whisper in their ear?
Yeah, I didn't
use
that.
Could you, like, tell them to use that and whisper the words so that you can? Mm-hmm. I know what it is like to have children that you're not sure they read it. Of course, our grades are bigger, so.
That, I will say, if you have a big classroom and have a lot of students, like, you're going to have to kind of figure that out. I only always about have 6, 7, or 8 students, and I just feel like I can make it work. Like, to me, it is very important. It's just part of the day. And, yeah. But do as you think you should. But
that is a good art. If I have somebody that I think is not going to get it, or they don't, I don't know that they are for sure reading it, I will just go to that student or have somebody else inside that student, mm-hmm. and they have to read it with that student. Mm-hmm. Or he has to read it to them, whatever works, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so. Reading is a part of every day at school, and it's easy to get into a rut. It was so good, like I said, for me to study this, and it's important. Let's shake it up. Let's make it fun for everyone. Honestly, I think story time is one of the highlights of my day. And I used to, you come in from recess, and you just sit down on the chair behind the desk, and you just read. But now I'm disciplining myself. I either take my chair up front, or I actually even like to stand in front of my desk to read the story. It is so fun. I absolutely love it. And we laugh, and then you can talk about it, and sometimes if there's pictures, they can see it, and yeah. So what are some suggestions that you have for story hour? What have you been reading? Any good ideas? I feel like it can kind of be a struggle, and yes, I have already started a book, and I thought, oh my word, this book is, and I'll just have to tell him, I'm sorry, but I don't think I'm going to finish it, and I actually, that's so embarrassing. So I have, for the last couple of years, I've been trying to keep note of some books, and it's, so now this year I have a third grade, so now I have to really be conscious about, I don't want to read a book that I've read in the last 2 years, right? So it's hard if you have some of the same students. But anyway, Summer of the Monkeys is a good book to read. Hilarious, Where the Red Fern Grows. Barney the Bear Killer series. Very fascinating book. It has quite a few books. So interesting. I will say one thing. There's this big bull in the story that comes up. And this is my little hack. This is what the name of the bull is. I call it Satan. Okay? It's Satan. And one of my students came to me one day and he said his brother read the book at home and the bull's name is Satan. And I was like, and I was just like, I would never pronounce it Satan. I don't know, it just goes against my grain. So if you do read those books in school, pronounce the bull's name as Satan. Do you think I would choose a book to read to my classroom over and over and call the bull's name Satan? It sounds terrible. So anyway, that's just if you do choose to read the Barney the Bear Killer You are allowed to shake things up and change stuff. I sometimes, as I'm reading, I'm like, oh my word, I need to skip this, and I'm sure you do too. Gentle Ben is another good book, and I love books like Peter Rabbit, Jimmy Skunk, oh my, Reddy Fox. I think it does great for their imagination. And we're out playing and we're talking about Jolly Round, Red Mr. Sun, or There's Blackie the Crow. I don't know, maybe we live in an imaginary world, but yeah. So anyway, final quotes here. A reader lives 1,000 lives before he dies. And the man who never reads lives only one. And our last one here, and you tell me who said this. The more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go. Yes. So I just want to wish all of y'all a good year. Just give it your all. And take one day at a time. Yeah, I don't know if I have anything else to add. So, I didn't have enough time. But if y'all have a chance, read this book.